TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents the Youth Sports Fan Forum with your host, the coach, John Cohn. This is the show that covers all topics relating to the wonderful world of sports our kids play. Here's your host for the Youth Sports Fan Forum, the coach, John Cohn.
And welcome to the Youth Sports Fan Forum, brand new show here on the TalkZone.com. I am the coach, John Cohn, my partner today, sitting in for Youth Sports Fan Forum. I think it's edition number 5. Here's Mr. Seth Gruen. Seth, great to have you on board, my friend. Actually, you were here for the first show.
I was, yeah.
You
I
were
was
sort
say.
Of here. You sort were of. Here, but if I can remember correctly, your voice was not.
Yeah, I was so sick, and I ended up being pretty sick that week with a fever. So I tried to gut it out. Could only stay for the first segment, but I'm excited. My voice is good. I'm excited to stay for the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of topics to talk about.
So. Yeah, no question about it. It's a brand new show. We're kind of taking a chance trying to do a show. Many people, when I tell them we're doing a show on youth sport, I mean high school sports? I go, no. Not high school sport, youth sports. Age 4 to 5 up to 8th grade, and they kind of give you the look and stuff like that. But the idea behind it, Seth, and by the way, if people want to call up questions, comments, advice, thoughts, opinions, funny stories, sad stories, anything that's going on in the world of sports, our phone lines are open. Love to talk to you, the youth sports fan out there. Maybe you're a coach. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you just stumbled on our show. You were looking for, maybe a movie critique review. And all of a sudden, some of our best listening audience, Seth, are people that accidentally found our show.
Yeah, well, didn't this kind of happen by accident?
Well, that's true. The youth sports fan forum happened by accident. Could be the motto on our show. 888-463-6748. The phone number, you can email us at ysfanforum.com. But the idea behind it was that so many people talk about it. It's probably too much, but it's a source of conversation with adults in particular, talking about their kids' games, talking about who's on whose team, what happened in this game over here. You go to a party. And people are talking about, and again, probably too much. Not enough about politics. Not enough about maybe some things that, concern our lives and quote unquote more important things. But many people are there. They're into their kids' youth sporting careers. Yeah. And it, through that discussion, and I've seen so many people do it, I kind of came up with the idea for the show.
And it makes sense, Coach, because as you go up in level, less and less people are participating in sports. You get up to the high school level, there's less kids participating, and obviously college and professional doesn't even need an introduction in that regard. But you look at youth sports, and not only do you have the kids playing in it, but oftentimes you have parents coaching it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely very germane, to raising kids and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So,
by the way, I mentioned at social gatherings talking about it. There's nothing more boring, by the way. One could even use the word nothing more rude than if you're in a group of 3 or 4 people, one or two of the people does not have a kid involved in youth sports, and you're in that group having a heated or a jovial discussion, intently covering your kids' teams and talking about that. It's just... the other two people have absolutely no clue or no interest of what you're talking about.
Right.
For
it's
the
like
most
if you're talking about who's bringing the oranges at halftime.
Yeah. So. I was at my first holiday party yesterday, by the way, getting off the youth sports fan forum very quick. Little neighborhood holiday party. And I don't know, Seth, if I'm a Grinch, if I'm getting old, but my tolerance for parties and just going, big group parties, loud, and you yakety yak, yak yak, and then you go to the next group of people and yakety yak, small talk here to small. And my wife, complains. She says I'm getting antisocial. She's afraid she's gonna be going to parties on her own later in life. I told her that's probably gonna be true. But and again, you're a young man. Hopefully this has not affected you, but my tolerance for the social gatherings is becoming less as I wear up.
You should come out with me to some of our social gatherings.
Really?
Yeah, come out with me. I'll show you a good time, Coach.
Okay.
I'll show you a good
All
time.
Right. I might need a new jump start in my social life.
A few adult beverages.
Absolutely. Well, the adult beverages are there. It's just the adults. That's the ones I'm
Yeah.
The beverages are fine. The people I'm hanging around with aren't.
Yeah.
Maybe I need a new jump. Maybe I need to do hang around in a new social circle.
Or maybe you need a few more adult beverages.
To make those adults tolerable. Yeah. I think you brought up an excellent point. All right. Let's talk about a couple of issues on the docket here. Youth sports in general. And Seth, I know you certainly participated as a young man at the highest level, except high school, college, or pro.
High school, I did go. Actually, in youth sports once in baseball, I was on deck swinging the baseball bat, and some idiot kid who was in the hole decided that he would take some early warm-ups, and he actually hit me in the jaw.
Ouch.
With a baseball bat. Yeah, I needed stitches. This was not good. So, and I've had my fair share of youth sports moments. So, you know, hit some game-winning shots in my life, kick some game-winning goals.
By the way, if you are a youth baseball coach, and those that coach it, I think know it, but just about the first thing you cover with a real young team, I'm talking age 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe up to 11, is don't pick up a bat unless you're on deck or unless the coach instructs you. Because you got a bunch of bats out of baseball practice and you don't have that rule in place, more likely than not, somebody else's jaw is going to get busted.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just inherent into the sport.
There are obviously safety considerations, and safety is something you should teach in youth sports, not throw the bat and whatnot. And I think there are actually, you have a very interesting perspective, I think, on this, because you coach at the high school level and at the youth level. So you're probably very familiar with that transition on both sides. So I know there's a bunch of questions I have for you. Number one for me would be, when do you think a youngster should start maybe narrowing his focus to a few sports? Mm-hmm. Does that not come until the high school level, or do you like to see somebody on maybe one of your on your high school basketball team who has already played the feeder, you know, as a youngster, has maybe had the traveling experience? Or do you like somebody, is it okay that they have diverse, they don't focus on basketball until they get to high school?
It's one of the big, overall, answer the question real quick. I prefer kids doing everything, and it's almost a mixed bag. As a coach of a team, if I was really selfish, and there's too many high school coaches, in my opinion, that I don't even think they're consciously selfish, but I don't think they're looking out, if they really step back and think about it, for the best of the athlete. So if you're just thinking about your team, you want the kids to concentrate 9-10 months out of the year on your sport. I think if you're looking out for the well-being of the kid, yeah, you're in high school once in your life. I may be your basketball coach, but this is your one time in your life.
Right.
You got a chance to play boys high school volleyball or to be on the soccer team. So to play indoor basketball in the fall, when you could be out playing soccer just so you could become a better basketball player. Again, it's going to help my program. But I don't think that's the best overall. There's a coach in an area, which I will not say. I don't want to call out coaches here on a particular, on our show. I don't want it to become that kind of show. But he basically, a very dedicated football coach, very hardworking. He's been successful. But he tells the football players that are going out for baseball in the spring that, hey, if you're going to be a starter, that's okay. If you're not going to be a starter, don't play and work out for football.
Yeah, because he wants them, obviously, to lift weights and get stronger.
Yeah, but that's the wrong message, in my opinion.
Well, there are some schools, and I've talked to lots of high school coaches, and, you know, I've done some writing for Rivals.com and Sports Illustrated, and I've actually examined this. There's a story out there I wrote on Garrett Goble, who is one of the nation's top defensive tackle recruits. He's now at Ohio
State. Garrett Dobler?
Goble.
Okay.
G-O-E-B-E-L. He was one of the top recruits, defensive tackle recruits. He went to Ohio State. He was also the nation's number two ranked heavyweight wrestler. And actually, Ohio State made him give up wrestling. But, you know, I talked to him about that balance, and his football coach actually encouraged it. Thought it helped with his aggression.
Well, football and wrestling, that's a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, but there are some high school coaches, I think, that maybe might be looking to coach at the next level, want to get some recognition. But simultaneously, there are high school coaches who love coaching high school. So they encourage their athletes to have that high school experience simultaneously. And that's not saying they don't want to win either, because all high school coaches want to win. But you understand what I'm getting at.
Yeah, you would hope that they do that. But the point you allude to is clearly one of the quote-unquote hot topics in youth sports right now, and that is the age of specialization. Whether we like it or not, Seth, we have entered. and we have been for a while now in youth sports, the age of specialization. Listeners out there, you have thoughts on it. Good, bad, or somewhere in the vast in between, kids having to pick a particular sport so that they can excel in it. At the, you know, fifth grade age, sixth grade, seventh grade age, eighth grade age, playing 9, 10 months out of the year. 888-463-6748, the phone number. You can email us too at ysfanforum.com. We have a website, www.fanforum.com. But yeah, kids, even if they, let's say they're a soccer player,
mm-hmm.
and they play basketball in the winter. If you're on a travel soccer team, part of the deal of being on the travel soccer team is they want you to play indoors in the winter. So you not only have a fall season, I'm just taking soccer as an example, you also have a spring season, and then during the winter, and this is not for high school varsity kids, I'm talking 9, 10-year-old travel team kids up to right up to high school. You now have to go once a week or twice a week indoor soccer, a lot of times after their basketball game or basketball practice.
Right.
Is it too much? I understand. In order for us to keep up with the other travel teams in the area, that's what we got to do. But, boy, the age of specialization can be awful tough, especially at that young age.
See, though. I think if a kid is going from his high, from his, you know, his travel basketball practice to an indoor travel soccer game, I think that's great because – if he loves sports, why not let him do everything? Maybe he's more tired for that one, and maybe the coach, you know, doesn't love. But I think that's great. If he loves it.
You're not worried about a kid having too much too soon, overbooked up schedule, lack of time to relax?
Isn't that what we're talking? Like you say, you're only in high school once. I mean, what about going
I'm not talking high school.
No, I understand. I know, but in terms of playing multiple sports, but, you know, you're only a young kid once, and once you get to high school, you might not be able to play the same sports within, because they're in the same season. You know, we're here in Illinois where you can only play three sports. Some states you can play multiple sports within a season, but you cannot play boys volleyball and boys baseball. So, you know, I think to some degree, if he wants to do it, if it's not affecting him otherwise, socially, scholastically, let him do it if he's really out there enjoying it.
I guess when I hear that, you bring up a good point. As long as they're not too booked and different kids have different personalities, some can handle it, some can't. But when I hear sometimes parents use as an excuse or coaches, and I mentioned this before on the show, you know, a Catholic school basketball team playing 80 games a year. You know,
really?
Coach, you know, 80 games, isn't that too much? Oh, the kids love it.
Are we talking junior high now?
Catholic school, junior high team. Some of the coaches, they don't have the restrictions the public schools do.
Yeah.
I'm just using them as an example. But the point is, the kids love it. Oh, the kids love it. Well, and I come back to them sometimes. Well, you know what? The kids also would love to eat 3 candy bars a day also.
Mm-hmm.
But you as an adult know that that's not the healthiest thing for them. So they may love going to soccer practice and then basketball practice 4 or 5 days a week. They may quote unquote like it, but you know, you as the adult, maybe, especially when talking 9, 10, 11-year-old kid, maybe is that really the best thing for them? I'm just throwing that out there. Phone number again, 888-463-6748. One of the topics of discussion, specialization in youth sports. It's the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. He's checking in on line number 18. Not sure what happened to the first 17 lines, but line 18 is lit. It's caller Milt checking in. Milt, how are you? We lost Milt. We're going to put Milt on hold, see if we can get him back. 888-463-6748 is the phone number. Seth Gruen and the coach. It's tough. And back when you were playing, I'm assuming that specialization. I mean, did you play on any like high-level travel teams?
I'm trying to remember. I think I played travel soccer. I know that, and I don't remember, but I think one thing, when you talk about the travel teams and the specialization, I think one topic that's very much linked to specialization is when do you start cutting kids? Because when you start cutting kids, that's when you sort of force them to specialize, because the kids you cut really don't have as much opportunity within that sport. And the unfortunate thing I think about cutting kids is so many kids, you know, develop after seventh grade. And even into high school, develop into great players. I mean, there are so many stories of kids who are on freshman B teams in high school who become the stars because they grow and they hit their developmental stage later. So I mean, that's a hot topic. When do you start cutting kids?
Mm-hmm. I think the answer to that, if possible, as late as possible.
Right. Absolutely.
That's probably the rawest, one of the rawest, most emotional moments you can get in a young man's life. Just having, I know as a coach, when you have to do it, it's and I tell the kids right up front, it's absolutely the worst thing in coaching.
Right.
It is. Dealing with the parents can sometimes be a little bit of a pain. Scheduling, any of the financial hassles can be a little bit of a pain. Sports, for the most part, is fun. The absolute, and I think I can speak for most coaches out there, the worst thing that we have to do, at least some of us, in a situation like at high school sport, is when you have to make cuts and you actually have to tell kids, enthusiastic, good attitude kids, that they can't play. That hurts.
Yeah.
And the answer to your question, if you can avoid it, at any level, avoid it as long as you can. And your point about kids developing late is right on.
Right, but playing also devil's advocate, those kids who are excelling at that sport at any given age, you also have to consider that don't they deserve to be able to play at a higher level of competition? And the only way you can do that mm-hmm. is by cutting. So it's really quite a conundrum. Mm-hmm. I'm more of the opinion that take all the kids, make lots of teams, and the kids who maybe aren't as good, maybe they don't play in the games. Maybe they learn that some people need to sit on the bench, but they still have the benefit of playing with everybody in practice, improving your game, getting better. So maybe when they do hit that developmental stage, they're caught up to those kids, if not already better.
There it is. Seth Gruen joining us in the Youth Sports Fan Forum, throwing out fancy words like conundrum, folks. How about that for a youth sports show? What does conundrum mean, by the way? I was very impressed by that word.
Catch 22, sort of a bind. Good. Caught between a rock and a hard place.
Ever use words over seven letters again on this show and embarrass me. David Olson, by the way, our producer for this fine show. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back in a minute. Change up topics a little bit. Phone lines are open if you want to join us. 888-463-6748. We lost Milt. We won't lose you. Back in a minute.
Let's return to more of the Youth Sports Fan Forum on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone.
All right, we're back in the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Thank you so much for joining us. Beautiful, beautiful Thursday here in the fine city of Chicago. As you know, Seth, via the internet, this fine show is being heard. Not just in the Chicago area, but your voice, your thoughts, your scintillating opinions and words like conundrum are being heard in seven different continents right now, and also parts of Naperville and Glen Ellen.
That's good to hear. But and Montana.
Absolutely, which many people consider Montana, quite frankly, the eighth continent.
Right. You bring your BlackBerry to Antarctica, you can hear us talk about youth sports, right?
Absolutely. Right now, somewhere in the Middle East, they're looking up conundrum, like in the English dictionary. Oh, what the conundrum?
Yeah.
Very highly impressive. 888-463-6748. Dial it up, folks. Talk some youth sports, again, any issues you want to bring up out there, maybe something that happened in a recent game, anything controversial or funny moments, certainly one of the great things about youth sports, you can find humor in just about any game.
Right.
I mean, there's good, sad. There's usually, you know, who was it? Jimmy Valvano, when he made that great speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
About a month before he died. I mean, one of the most dramatic speeches ever at the ESPYs. He said three things you got to do every day.
You got to.
And it's a complete day.
You got to have your emotions brought to tears is the third one.
You gotta
laugh.
Absolutely. And you gotta think.
Yeah. Yep.
If you could do that every day, if you could laugh, if you can really sit down and do some thinking, how many of us in our daily lives, we got our activities we gotta do, we got our routines we gotta do, our producer David Olson's gotta put up with yahoos like you and me on a regular basis, show after show after show. How many people in their regular lives really sit back and think? And I think that's what Jim Valvano was talking about. Ponder. Philosophize, question a little bit, a little mental thought processes. If you can laugh every day, he said, if you can think every day, and if you can cry every day, then you've had a complete day. Very, very emotional speech. He obviously said it a lot better than I ever could, but I think his point was extremely well taken. But any of those emotions into youth sports, that's what we want to hear from you, the youth sport fan, parent, coach, whatever you might be, 888-463-6748. If you want to cry over an email, you can send your sympathies via an email. We can feel tears, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can express emotions on email, ysfanforum@aol.com. You mentioned players and kids developing at different ages, and I remember our high school coach one time talking to a group of freshmen, and this would definitely apply to 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. And he was talking, he was kind of gearing it towards the freshman B players, which you alluded to. And he basically told the guys, I can't tell you what the starting lineup is going to be 4 years from now, talking to freshmen here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But my message to you guys is things will change. I don't know who's going to drop out, who's going to move up, but I guarantee you this, the top players now are not going to be the top players in 4 years. The only thing I can guarantee, and he did it from experience, and he's right, is things will change.
Right.
So his point was, yeah, a lot of times the best kids at age 13 are not the best kids at age 17.
Yeah, I think people are too quick to sort of write kids off with, you know, some kid who has more talent. And in some cases, talent will win out. If somebody really just plays the sport for fun and somebody is truly talented at it, there's no way that one kid who doesn't have any talent will be able to succeed at the level the other kid will, the talented kid will. But I will say this. When you take a group of people who have played basketball, and let's say, you know, you have your freshman B players who aren't that far off from your freshman A players, hard work over time will beat talent. And whoever works harder ultimately will be better. I mean, not just on the physical aspects of the game. I'm not just talking about running, building up your cardiovascular ability, but also working on the mental aspects of the game. I mean, there is no way a coach is going to put somebody out there who doesn't know what's going on, who doesn't know the plays and whatnot. We see that in the pros, too, versus somebody who's taken the time to, as you said, as Jim Valvano said, think, watch game film, learn the plays, learn defenses, and learn why they do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's taught enough at the youth level.
Mm-hmm. I mean, completely agree with you. And the more I coach, the more I value kids that are smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking book smart.
Right.
I'm talking athletic smarts, intelligence on the court, on the field. The more I coach, mm-hmm. the more I value that and, of course, attitude.
And they recognize things individually that way. I mean, how many times have you gone to a youth basketball game? And I've coached a little myself when I was in high school, in college on breaks and whatnot at the JCC. How many times have you gone to a youth basketball game, for example? A coach says, go get into a 2-3 zone. And then he says, we're going man-to-man now. But yet the kids do not understand that they're going from the 2-3 zone to the man-to-man defense because this particular team happens to be a good shooting team, so we need to get up on them. Or we're going to this 2-3 zone because we want to improve our rebounding, mm-hmm. and this team isn't so great shooting, so we don't need to be as concerned with guys. Or we're trapping this guy because we don't want him to have the basketball. You know, it's good to be able to listen to a coach and know what a 2-3 defense is and know mm-hmm. how to go from a man-to-man to a 2-3 defense or motion offense.
Great point. It's a great point.
A 1-3-1. But
on the reverse, are you suggesting that coaches, this is a great point you bring up. It's a very fine line, but it's a great point, one we unthink of. Are you suggesting the coaches, when they coach it, should not only tell kids we're switching a defense or whatever mm-hmm. technique or drill that they're doing, but the reasoning behind it
right,
so they understand?
Exactly. Don't just teach them where you're supposed to trap in a 2-3, mm-hmm. where each player is supposed to be in it. Tell them, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Because on the court, they could recognize, you know, maybe they say, let's go to a 2-3, or maybe your point mm-hmm. guard sees something and calls a certain offensive play and doesn't rely on the coaches. Because mm-hmm. coaches, yes, make players better, they develop talent, but really it's the players who play the game, and you want them to be able to see things out there and make adjustments. Very important in sports.
Mm-hmm. All right, by the way, if you're looking to be a basketball coach, I know a couple of teams looking for a quote-unquote volunteer coach, Seth Gruen, so talk to me after the show.
Will do.
Thank you very much. 888-463-6748, the phone number. Here's a quandary I want to throw out now, and I'm going to even throw it to our highly esteemed producer, David Olson. It says right here on my sheet, by the way, highly esteemed.
Really?
David Olson. I think it's written by David Olson.
Yeah.
How about that?
He's just too modest to adorn his producer's office with all his awards and trophies.
Let me throw this out to you two guys and the listeners, and this is where it really hits home, because we're all human. And you want to win. We're all competitive. You're picking a team, let's say seventh grade, a developing area, let's call it basketball. It could be any sport. Okay? You see some kids, maybe the tall, skinny kid, or maybe he's above average height. His dad is about 6'5". You look at his shoes, they're pretty big. The kid's going to grow, but he's pretty gangly. He's not good right now. But he shows a little bit of potential. He's not terrible. He's got some hands. He could run the floor. He's pretty lost on the court. Clearly not right now in your top 12 players. He might be 20 or 22. But you, you've coached for a while. You've seen it. You know this kid. You know what? Down the road, this kid's going to be 6'3", 6'4". And he could, no guarantees, this kid could be a high school player. Now, you got a couple other guys on the team that are real tough kids. Okay? And you could tell they physically matured early, but you can also tell they're the kind that are not going to grow. Maybe one guy's favorite sport is football, the other is wrestling, but in the seventh grade level, they're going to help you win some ballgames. You get where I'm going?
Yeah.
So now it comes time to pick teams. David Olson, highly esteemed producer David Olson. This is a tough call. Time to pick your team. Do you go with the kid that really likes basketball and has got potential down the road? Or do you go with the kid that football and wrestling are his first thing? Basketball, he's playing. It's his one chance to be on a school team. He's a tough kid. He's going to help you right now. But this kid's not going to play basketball down the road. Tough call. Tough call.
I think you go with the potential. You have to go with the potential in that situation. I mean, who is the sport really for? The coach who wants to win now, or the kid that's the player?
Yeah. You've
got to go with the one that is going to put... You're going to get more effort out of the kid with the potential.
Simultaneously, I think when you talk about the sport being for fun and allowing a kid to play, how can you tell a kid who is obviously better that he can't play? How
can
you do that?
Tough
call. Because when it comes down to cutting, when it comes down to picking teams, you have to take who's better. It's not fair. As unfair as it is to cut a kid. And that's why I think, why don't these travel teams just have multiple levels? And let everybody play, let everybody have the intense practices and you know, the day-to-day.
In a utopian world, you're absolutely correct. That would be the
idea. But it's not just a utopian world, because there are plenty of programs that allow everybody to play that don't cut. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at youth football, because they need such big numbers, they don't cut. They just have different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But back to what I was saying is, when you talk about cutting kids, you have to take the best players, not for yourself as much as for the kids.
Yeah.
Because if a kid proves he's better, then he has earned the right to play. And what are we teaching him if he puts out his best effort and he proves he's better?
This is why it's such a great argument. David Olson, our producer, I thought brought up a great point, and I cannot argue with what you're saying too. I think it's a really, really tough call for coaches. I'd love to hear from anybody out there who's dealt with that situation. 888-463-6748. It's a tough one. Because your point is extremely well taken, but boy, the kid who's got potential, he needs to be on that team to develop.
It's funny because in my field, in the world of sports writing and sports radio, as we know, they have that same conundrum. You know, they have that same sort of situation. There's a debate going on as to whether or not, do you take that young writer who has potential and you know who will be good, but just doesn't have, you know, hasn't had as much experience being in the locker room, interviewing guys, or do you take that experienced veteran writer who's already there? It parallels it.
It's I don't know if that's an exact analogy, but it's close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
It's close enough that it hits home, and I would argue, well, get off topic here and talk a little sports media real quick. I would argue that in the world of media, probably media in general, I know sports media the most, way too many program directors, general managers, decision makers absolutely play the safe route.
Right.
They take the safe choice, the guy who, take a chance. Bring in some young talent, gamble, go with somebody that's got a higher upside, instead of just being satisfied with good. We've seen it so much in the Chicago market here.
Right, and it's really
dumbed
down.
Where guys get rehired over and over and over again, and they're okay. They're okay. But I don't know about you, but when I'm running an organization, running a company, coaching a team, I don't want okay.
Right.
I'm trying to look for the best possible guys out there, and there's people in this Chicago area. So I get off the tangent here into the U Sports Fan Forum. With tremendous potential, they need a little bit of guidance.
Right.
And some young talent, they don't get the chance because the same old people keep getting rehired. They're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue, okay is not good enough.
Right. And simultaneously, look, there are some older people who have sustained success and who keep improving their craft and are continually entertaining. And I don't want to take anything away from
Absolutely.
That, but I agree. There are not enough people take flyers on younger talent.
Yeah. Huh. All right. We could do another show. Maybe the youth sports, or not youth sport, but the sports media show.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Don't tempt me.
Yeah, I can tell the wheels are spinning.
What do we got going on Fridays from 11 to 12, Dave? Anything open? Probably got a Spanish show. Could be a beauty pageant Maybe. Show. Check it out, by the way. TalkZone.com. You look down the list of shows they have Monday through Friday.
Uh-huh.
24-hour program.
Yeah.
And you wake up in the middle of the night, 4 in the morning, you got yourself a show right on the TalkZone.com.
Right, and you can also catch shows you've missed. They got the on-demand feature, which is great.
Yeah. If anybody wakes up, 2-3 in the morning, they get restless, can't go back to sleep, Seth, this show can be heard 2 weeks from now. Punch in TalkZone.com. You get to the archives very quickly. You don't have to download. You don't have to go through all that. Boom. Listen.
Right.
You're on.
And the great thing is about this radio, this station, if I'm not mistaken, all the shows are in English.
Yes.
Whereas, there's other radio stations. You got Spanish, you got Polish, you got English. So there's no listener carryover. But hopefully, I'd like to think that everybody at the TalkZone.com is really promoting each other's shows.
I would certainly hope so. We certainly do that. I don't know if they do, but I will guarantee you this. You have trouble going to sleep, you turn on an old show of the Youth Sports Fan Forum, you'll be back to sleep in 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, the talk radio equivalent to Pink Floyd.
We could do that if nothing else. All right, we'll take a quick break. Emails at ysfanforum.com. It's a brand new enterprise here in the TalkZone.com. Help us stay successful, folks. We're walking a tightrope here. We're fighting a fine line, but we're going to try to make this show go. Back in a minute, 888-463-6748. Join the fight.
The phone lines are open on the Youth Sports Fan Forum, 888-GO-FOR-IT. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone, on TalkZone.com.
And yes, indeed, final segment coming up, TalkZone.com, the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Every Thursday we do this show from 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock. That would be Central Time, Seth. So out east, where your lunchtime break, and out west, people are waking up to the voice of a Seth Gruen. But I appreciate your joining us today for the most part, your maiden voyage on the U Sport Fan Forum.
Yeah, but it's been great. I mean, look, we've filled up all this time with some great talk, and we've brought up some really, really important topics.
Speak for yourself. Last time you were here again, your voice was so bad. It was our debut show. We were all excited.
Mm-hmm.
First time ever for the break of the U Sports Fan Forum. And you sounded like death warmed over. You fought through, the first 20
like
minutes
too.
Of the show, and then we sent you home in an ambulance or something.
Right, and we did an hour show before that, too. So, yeah, my voice was shot.
I got sick after that, by the way.
Are you serious?
Yeah, not from any germs in here. I think just from listening to you and listening to the tape, just from hearing you,
I don't
my
you.
Voice started to hurt unto its own.
Yeah, it was a little deeper than normal. We'll say that. But
believe me, it may have been painful for you. It was much more painful for the listening audience.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thank you very much. Youth Sports Fan Forum, David Olson, our fine producer. Any issues you want to talk about, situations that have come up in the fine world of youth sports right now, winter activities going on. You got the wrestling, you got basketball, swimming. You've got, of course, indoor baseball, indoor soccer, just about every sport.
Indoor baseball?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Not just batting cages now.
Really? Where do they play?
There are actually, and I'm sure Chicago is not the only place, but they actually have built domes, if you will. And you can play actual games indoor in the wintertime. I think we have one in Aurora.
Really? I didn't know that.
And there are hitting leagues now.
Yeah.
Where you show up to the batting cages and you have a little hitting competition. So absolutely, baseball indoors, it's become a year-round sport.
Yeah, because, you look at the warm weather sports and kids as they get to the college level and professional level, you see just most of those people coming from California and Florida, the warm weather states, as is with football, where they can practice outdoor all year round. It's quite an advantage. So that's kind of good to see.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we brought this up during one of the breaks. You talk about they have a lot of these different options within the major sports. I mean, traditional youth sports, soccer, football. Basketball, baseball, but I don't think there are really a lot of options out there And I can't say whether or not there should be, because I don't know what the demand is, but do they have volleyball leagues out there? I mean, can you run track and field? Can you do some of those other sort of more niche sports, not the mainstream sports out there? I mean, how prevalent is hockey? Even you take football in Chicago, for example. They're not starting it at young ages. I know you mentioned in the Park Ridge area they start it at the younger ages. But look at Texas. They start at 6, 7 years old. So are there enough options out there for kids? And obviously you cannot start leagues unless there's the demand for it. But, obviously let's hear that from the audience.
I would say for the football, baseball, basketball, obviously it's easy for the sports that are not quite as mainstream. Yes, you can do them out of season, but A, they're harder to find. Mm-hmm. B, you probably have to travel a lot farther.
Right, but not just out of season. Is there a house volleyball league for a fifth grader? Mm-hmm. Does that exist around here? I don't think so.
There are some. Probably not enough.
Right.
Volleyball is a phenomenal sport. You know what's an underrated sport? Is the catch equivalent of volleyball, Newcomb.
Mm-hmm.
Newcomb's an awesome sport for like third, Newcomb. Fourth, fifth, sixth grade where you can catch it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strategy. I was a long-time Newcomb fan.
Yeah, well, you're good. You can tell. You can just spike it. You can slam it down.
Well, no, there's rules in Newcomb, but I used to have a rule which I put in when I ran kids' volleyball leagues back in my park district days, and that is that after three consecutive serves, three consecutive points, the other team can catch the ball. And at first, all the parents and my boss thought, you know, what are you doing, softening up these kids? You know, that's terrible. But after a while, they love the rule. Because I don't know if you've seen youth volleyball in the few leagues that are around. One server. Mm-hmm. You could score like 15 points in a
row. Yeah.
And everybody's just standing around, all the subs on the sidelines. So you have to avoid somebody dominating like that. Right. I put the catch rule into volleyball, and I'm damn proud of it.
Yeah, here's another thing I want to bring up, and I'm sorry to jump around, but a question for you. Now it's economically challenging times. Equipment, these leagues cost money. Are any park districts packaging things? Are they saying, hey, you can get football, basketball, and baseball for this rate?
Mm-hmm.
Because that guarantees them enrollment, first of all. So that guarantees some cash flow into the park district, and it also packages things up. Makes it cheaper for those parents, those kids who want to be involved in multiple sports.
It's an interesting call. Not that I've heard of, but that's interesting. You sign up for up for four programs, you get the fifth one free.
Right, or something like that, or some sort of, or even a flat rate for XXX, or for three programs, or and I always say, okay, you'll get your equipment here, just give us this flat rate, we'll give you basketball shoes, you get your football package these things together, because when you talk about, hey, kids shouldn't be specializing in third and fourth grade, I think we can agree on that at the young ages. They want to play everything, so why can't we? You know, put that all together.
I could tell you finances has become a major issue in youth sports. No
really?
Question about it. The house leagues are a lot more expensive than they ever used to be. And God forbid your son or daughter actually makes a traveling team.
Yeah.
Many of these travel teams are now not run by an association. Some are. But many are now run by an outside organization also known as a company.
Right.
The last time I checked out the company, usually had a couple people running it, and last time I checked, those couple people enjoyed doing their business, but it was a business, and they wanted to make money.
See, I did not know that these leagues are run by companies.
I didn't say all, but more and more.
I didn't even know that, but
yes.
They make you buy all these clothes, these unnecessary ones. And let's get a Chicago, you know, the warm-ups or whatever. The sweatshirts that the kids wear around school, or the jackets.
I'm not big fan of the super fancy uniforms at early ages.
But it's not just that. Not just the uniforms, but the travel teams are buying these sweatsuits so the kids can, you know, walk around in these sweatsuits at school and say, you know, I'm part of this traveling team, or the jackets.
And the bags with the monogram names on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they make these parents buy all this stuff, and I've always thought, you know, These leagues should be having fundraisers and stuff. Help us buy these things and these car washes.
Here's what I would do. I'd take a reverse approach. Maybe this is a little bit too apocalyptic. Maybe a little bit too idealistic. But here's what I'd do. I'd take a travel team, really talented kids. Guys, we're going to have a white T-shirt with our team name on there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe whatever your other color is. Okay? And all the money that would be going to these, you know, NBA-type monogram uniforms, $170, We're going to save your parents that money, and we're going to take maybe 40 or 50 of that dollars that we would be spending, and we're going to contribute it to a team charitable organization. And better yet, we as a team are going to get together and figure out which organization you want to support. So now you make the sporting process a learning experience too. The kids get to know about that charity, and you go into games, you go into tournaments wearing the t-shirt while all the other teams got the fancy jerseys. If you're good, if you're good, it works. Now,
that's true.
If you're not so good, it can backfire on you. But if you're good and you got just the t-shirt, you know what? That's fine. You're proving a point.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a little extreme. I think also when you talk about...
Extreme is good.
My point was more to some of the peripheral stuff, some of the stuff that doesn't really have to do with game day attire. I mean, even, you know, a warm-up sort of shirt over the jersey, I can understand that. I'm talking about more the jackets, the bags, the, you know, this practice jersey and this sweatshirt so you can wear it to school.
Uh-huh.
But you look at, I think, to some degree, that travel jersey that you, because in the house league, you don't have the full uniform with the shorts and the, I think to some degree that has trophy value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a kid is entitled to that. I just think there needs to be more of a collective effort. Hey, let's fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
How about the parents at our home games? Start a concession stand. Let's let the money from the concessions go to jerseys. Let's not put so much of the financial emphasis on the parents.
Mm-hmm. Seth Gruen sitting in with the coach today. U Sports Fan Forum, 888-463-6748. The phone number I did 3 years ago. Have a travel basketball team in fourth grade. And it wasn't through an association. I didn't want to lose friends in the community, so I didn't hold tryouts and stuff. I just kind of pick and choose rather quietly, quite frankly, some of the better fourth grade kids in the community.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nothing secretive about it, but I didn't want to do tryouts because if I did tryouts, then I got, you know, friends of my kids and, you know, all of a sudden you start losing friends.
Yeah, but what if they're not asked too?
It caused a little bit of a problem.
Okay.
It did cause a little bit of a problem, but at any rate, I picked 10 kids and we just played in some tournaments, a little bit of a travel team. We called the team the Jets. And I asked the kids before the first practice what color you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of them, a little bit smart alecky, say, let's go pink. Mm-hmm. There's a boys team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know me, you know, man, not afraid to think outside the box. Extreme can be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, you want to go pink? We'll go pink. I checked back next practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys really want to go pink? They said, yeah. So I got them, boys team, the brightest pink, not one of these like fuchsia. We're talking bright pink t-shirts and this is travel basketball. We didn't go pink shorts. I just told the kids wear black shorts,
mm-hmm.
put their name and number on them. But it was really cool. We would go to games and we'd be known. And again, here's one of the keys. Now you got to be good.
Were you good?
If you're really bad and you're wearing the pink shirts, that can be a lot of an abuse for a 10, 11-year-old kid. We weren't dominant, but we were good. We were above average. So it played well, and the other communities loved it. The other teams would talk about it. My assistant coach hated it. He was one of these male macho Mr. Testosterone. I couldn't stand it. Mm-hmm. And just because of that, I bought him a pink coaching shirt. Which he refused to wear, but we were known for the pink. We even took one of those pink lawn flamingos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like our mascot. We'd carry it in for the game on the coach's seat right next to me.
Yeah.
Was the pink flamingo. And I loved it. We were known for it. The next year, the kids chickened out. We had the same team. They all chickened out. They're a year older.
Mm-hmm.
Now it'll go, you know, navy, blue, and white. Boring! But every team we'd play the next, not every team, that's an exaggeration. A lot of teams we'd play the next year. Hey! Weren't you guys the teams in pink? Where's the pink flamingo? They love this.
Yeah.
The kids checking out for 1 year, though. We were the team in pink, and we were
damn
good.
That's cool. That's cool. Were you good, though?
Yes.
So
Like I said, we weren't dominant, but we were good.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah. If you wear pink and you come out and you lose, like, 64-18.
No good. No good.
That could be an issue.
But you knew going in you'd be pretty good. So
certainly hope so, but I was willing to take a chance. 888-463-6748, the phone number, Youth Sport Fan Forum, Seth Gruen. Our guest host today, we do a show before this, by the way, called Two Guys and a Mic.
Right.
We do that not just on Thursdays, but every day of the week, a little sports and more show. So make sure you join us in on that. 10 o'clock, same channel here, TalkZone.com. Seth, any experiences you had as you look back into your playing days And you coached it a little, or you've supervised it, right? You've worked some
leagues? Yeah, no, I've coached too. Yeah. I've coached too.
Any moments that stand out to you, particularly dramatic ones? Usually there's some like flashpoint moments, but a couple that in your career, ones that hurt, ones that were good, any that really stand out in your flashpoint memory?
I worked at a place where I also score kept. It's where I met you. We won't name the place.
It wasn't a bar, was it?
No. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though, right? You know.
Yeah.
And there happen to be some youth coaches there who take it so seriously and who are so into like, my team went, did you see that? Did you see that, Seth? Aren't we doing a great job? Like, coaches who are. But it just so happens the A team was playing the B team within the same year. Seventh graders, they cut, but then they take an A team and a B team. One of the coaches was complaining. One of the coaches who likes the credit was complaining about having all the B players. Well, just so happens, they're down something like 6 points, and gradually they come back. They come back till they're down by two with like 15 seconds left. One of the B players hits a three with 4 seconds remaining. So the B team is up by one, okay? And I'm just scorekeeping. I'm running the clock. The A team passes the ball, and they bring it to half court. Takes about a second off, call timeout. The A coach designs a play where there's like two passes, passes it to his son, who happens to be the best player, who hits not a half-court shot, but let's say five or six youth steps, seventh-grade steps in front of half-court, hits the shot swish, but time had already expired. They waved the shot off. The kid was in tears. Some were mad at me for starting, but I just started the clock when the ref's hand went down.
Mm-hmm. Was it close?
It was, I thought it was pretty obvious to me that it was late, okay. But someone said, you know, I'm glad that kid hit the shot because they know they could have won, but at the same time, the B team won, so it mm-hmm. gave them, I mean, that's kind of cool. First of all, the C of B team win, but
there is nothing better than to watch a bunch of kids who were told.
Yeah.
That they're not good enough to be on a particular team to come back and beat that team.
Oh, it's great.
Painful. Yeah. Painful for the coaches or the players. Who are on the quote-unquote A team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no greater experience in sports.
That's
you can
great.
Win all the championships in the world. It's
right.
still, and I'm only exaggerating a bit, not as good as if you're
right.
on that B team and you beat the A guys. Oh,
yeah.
That's as good as it gets.
Oh, it's great. It's probably one of the greatest things you'll see. I mean, it's not going to be on ESPN. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, no one's going to know. But to be at a game where you see young kids, you know, just step up their level of play, mm-hmm. really take it seriously and first of all, let's just say it takes for a seventh grader, for a sixth or seventh grader to have the mindset, the mentality, we can beat these guys, takes some maturity. I mean, that's really a milestone in the maturation of a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because some kids will just say, okay, you know, we're playing against them. It's to try to make us better, but they're going to beat us. And how many times do you hear that? But to see them go up there and beat them was really cool.
And that, what I would think, would take a coach that can motivate those kids. Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw that similar situation, and we talked about it on Two Guys and a Mic at the college level, Seth. We were talking about in college football in the last couple of weeks or last month of the season, a couple of examples were like Northwestern beat Illinois. And I remember in our local neighboring state, Northern Iowa,
mm-hmm.
defeated Iowa. And we use those as examples.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Northwestern players, not all, but some were probably guys that wanted to go to a bigger Division I institution, mm-hmm. i.e. Illinois, and were told, coming out of high school, that they weren't quite big enough, quite fast enough, quite talented
right.
enough. Okay, I'll go to Northwestern. Probably even more so with a case like Iowa and Northern Iowa.
Absolutely.
And they were in basketball.
Right.
And a couple of weeks ago, Northern Iowa beat Iowa in basketball. How sweet is that? For the school, for the kids that couldn't make the big school, not good enough, and they come back as a team and they knock off all the guys that theoretically were good enough.
Absolutely. It's not, I see the parallel, certainly. I don't know if it's spot on. It's not as finite. You know what I'm saying? Because some guys will go to Northern Iowa
right.
to get more exposure.
Yep.
And those, they're all about winning. You know, they're more mature mentally. It's not, but I see the parallel. I certainly see the parallel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully we could see more situations like that because that is,
yeah.
First of all, ideally you don't want the A team playing against the B team. Sometimes that's a, no-win situation, but if it does come up.
Yeah.
And then the few times that B group can win, that's about as sweet as it can get.
Yeah.
And you were the timekeeper.
Yeah.
The scorekeeper. You were under, did the coach go nuts on you?
Well, the coach was like, didn't you start it early? I said, coach, when his hand went down, I started the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And at first they wanted more time put on. They thought too much time came off when they brought it to half court. The ref said no. You know, they have the final word, but. See, what I was happy was that the guy who was coaching the B team, the guy who goes crazy over these things and needs all the credit, I'm glad he wasn't coaching the A team because he would have gone nuts.
Yeah. You so, you might have been walking with a slight limp
right
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my theory on that, especially in the youth league, even at the high school level, you know, if it's simultaneous with the buzzer, if it's close, I know a lot of the clocks now hit the tenth of a second thing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's close, and I'm not saying your situation was, if it's that close, and the buzzer beater goes in, count the damn bucket. Count. Right?
Yeah,
don't give me, oh, it was a tenth. It was less looking like, within, remember the Bulls game where they had to look at the replay like 20 times?
I covered that game.
Was it on his hand? Was it off his hand? Let's check this angle. You know what? If it's that close, count it.
No, it's sports.
It's a thrilling moment. It's a wonderful moment. Basket went in. Give the guy the basket. If it's clearly after, a full second after, a full half a second after, okay. If it's close, count the bucket.
Well, but first of all, in the NBA, you're talking about jobs and stuff.
I don't care.
But secondly, you also have
jobs are overrated.
Just as we get on players for not doing their, for not trying their best, refs take it very seriously.
Well,
they want to get it right.
Exactly. And I would argue getting it right. You're right. But here's where we differ in perspective. I would argue getting it right is doing justice to the sports experience and not analyzing 12 different angles. Doing right is if the shot goes in and it's close, count it.
So you're not a replay guy?
I'm not a rules or rules guy. I believe in the true beauty of sport. I'll give you another example on this. Some of the parents looked at me like I was crazy. I'm watching a junior high game in a gym that's a little bit too small. Some junior highs are.
Right.
A little bit too small. And like five or six times a kid would get the pass on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And the tip of his shoe is near the stand touching the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. Other team gets the ball. And it didn't affect the play.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't create, he wasn't way out of bounds. Just the tip of his shoe. It's a small gym. The fans are right there. That's an example, my opinion, where you don't go by the rule book, but you as a referee understand the spirit of the game, what sports is all about. No advantage gain. Continue the play. Don't call that. Don't blow the whistle every single
time. But in all sports, when you do that, it makes officiating too ambiguous. Like, so how much of his foot is too little or too much? Or, I mean, there are set rules in place, like the Brad Miller shot, for that specific reason, because you don't want an official to control the game.
We differ. We're on opposite extremes on that one. I want referees who know how to use common sense. I think the refs that follow the rule book, that have to do like you do, that have to follow the letter of the law, I think, to me, that's a sign of weakness, not strength. The real strong official is the one who's not afraid to use a little judgment along with it.
That's why they want to be in the NFL. That's why they want to replay pass interference, because they think it's too ambiguous, too subjective.
Any NFL referee chiefs are out there and care to hire me, I am potentially available. Who knows how long this show is going to last. But I do know, for today, the show's not going to last any longer because our producer, David Olson's waving the white flag.
Oh, well, I guess that means it's over, huh?
It does indeed. We appreciate everybody for listening out there. Again, it's a new venture. We're trying to get it off the ground. Email us at ysfanforum.com. Any suggestions, any way you can help us, hopefully we're going to make this show go. Seth Gruen, really, really thank you for sticking around doing a great job.
Thank you for having me. It was a great, great 2 hours. I think we filled it up nicely.
Beautiful. David Olson, our producer, tremendous job. Also, don't forget Two Guys at a Mic tomorrow at 10 o'clock, the Youth Sports Fan Forum. We'll be back at you next Thursday at 11 Central. Have a great day, everybody. TalkZone.com.